You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Tea and Sympathetic Magic, Chapter 4. It would have carried on just like that, Neem expected. Foiled charms, an unwed duke, and a shared interest with the spellcracker that edged a little too closely into inappropriate flirtation. Everything changed when she received a note, folded into a paper bird, that slid under her door at midnight, flew up onto her canopy, and fluttered at her until she awoke. "Come to the library as a matter of urgency. Thornberry." Neem had a choice to make in that moment. What she should do, of course, was ignore the impertinent note, or at the very least wake her chaperone, to ensure that a late-night visit to the Duke's library did not compromise her utterly. But Mrs. Paula Days had been up late working on her latest novel, and was likely to be sleeping soundly. The thrill of the invitation was overwhelming. After a moment's consideration, Neem decided she could risk being compromised, just a little. If it was ever going to happen to her, she wanted it to be in a library. She wrapped herself in her best dressing gown, and the especially modest nightgown that her mamma demanded be let down so that it did not show her ankles. If she was going to be compromised, Neem wanted to make sure that her ankles, at least, were saved for her wedding night. All thoughts of an illicit encounter were swept away when Neem arrived in the library to find the lanterns burning. Thornberry leaned over a map of the teacup aisles, his shirt sleeves rolled indecently high, and his hair uncombed. A disgruntled maid stood refilling a teapot in the corner. No risk, then, of Neem being compromised tonight. She was almost disappointed. "Ah," said Thornberry, glancing at her, with his eyes wild. Goodness, his chin looked like it needed a shave. Was that common for menfolk in the dead of night? How had she ever thought he wasn't handsome? "There you are. I need your help. The Duke of Storm has been kidnapped." The maid gave a small squeak and rattled the teacups in the corner. Thornberry's forehead creased charmingly between his eyes. I misspoke," he said quickly. "That is to say, he has eloped, and I am hoping to prevent it getting as far as the altar, until I am certain it is a choice of his own free will." "An elopement does rather sound like Henry," Neem winced. "My cousin tends towards the impulsive, as you know." "I know," said Thornberry, dragging his hands messily through his hair, an action that only served to make him look like a ruffian. "But I made him swear on his father's grave that he would not attempt an elopement this season, that he would allow me to be present for any wedding to ensure there was no magical interference." "Oh, he hated his father," Neem said absently. "You should have made him swear on something he cared about, like the graves of the four dogs called Ruffles." Thornberry stared wildly at her as if she was not being remotely helpful. "You think he hasn't been kidnapped by one of the ladies?" Neem sighed. "Oh, no, you're right. Kidnap is the likeliest solution. Have you been able to locate him?" One of the easiest and most common types of sympathetic magic was locating a person on a map. The look on Thornberry's face made it clear that this was eluding him tonight. Failing such a basic spell must hurt his pride something shocking. "A powerful force is shielding him from all magical attempts at location." "That's unfortunate." "Indeed." He gazed at her, his eyes bright with hope. "We have a narrow window of opportunity. No priests will perform services in the middle of the night, which means we have until dawn to seek, locate, and retrieve the Duke of Storm. Can you help me?"
"Sympathetic magic has never really been my strength," admitted Neem, her eyes still fixed to the map.
"No," Thornberry coughed. "I mean,
Could you discreetly check the bedrooms and see which of the ladies is missing? Knowing whom he's with might give us a clue about where he's gone.
Oh, said Neem, blushing horribly. Yes, I can do that.
Foolish to think she had anything to offer a spellcracker of his calibre, other than being a lady, who had access to the sleeping quarters of other ladies.
Can I take the maid with me?
Yes, he said, waving a hand and already staring back at his map, losing interest in her. I fetched her for you.
Less than half an hour later, Neem and the maid, her name was Sadie, she had five sisters, and one or other of them was always running off with some fellow, so midnight mercy dashes were nothing new to her, returned to the library. Thornbury had not moved from his unhelpful map in all that time. If anything, his hair was more tousled and his shirt sleeves rolled up even higher than before. Otherwise, nothing had changed.
Well, he asked, which of our eligible ladies has flown the coop with her prize?
None of them, said Neem, clearing her throat in the hopes he would look up sometime soon. Lady Liesel of Sandwich, Mrs. Juno von Trask, Miss Meta Seaborn, and Miss Letty Agnew were all soundly in their own beds until I woke them with the query.
That's curious, said Thornbury, half muttering to himself. I wonder if we should consider...
Neem cleared her throat again.
Ahem. And this time he looked up.
Ah, said Thornbury, seeing for the first time that Neem and Sadie had not returned to the library alone. They were accompanied by, wrapped in an assortment of interesting dressing gowns, Lady Liesel of Sandwich, Mrs. Juno von Trask, Miss Meta Seaborn, and Miss Letty Agnew.
Perhaps you misunderstood the task I gave you, Thornbury said levelly. I am certain that it included the word discreetly.
No one screamed the house awake, said Mrs. Juno von Trask with her usual brand of arch sarcasm. How much more discretion could we possibly achieve at this hour?
I didn't invite them, Neem said quickly. They just sort of came along.
I'm surprised none of the chaperones are here along with us, remarked Lady Liesel. Are they so uncurious about this evening's events?
Everyone looked at Neem.
I didn't wake the chaperones, she said. Mr. Thornbury only asked. Oh, you silly biscuit, Cousin Meta said scornfully. We're not the only people living under this roof who might benefit from landing a ducal husband. Not all of our chaperones have living husbands.
Next thing you'll be saying, you didn't check that all the maids were in their beds.
I didn't think, Neem started, furious at herself. Of course she should have thought of that.
Thornbury, just as guilty as she was of thinking small, threw up his hands in despair. I was rather hoping that if no marriage has taken place, we might avoid the appearance of the Duke being compromised, he said impatiently. In order to prevent an unwanted marriage, the fewer people who know about this attempted elopement, the better.
Too late for that, said Mrs. Juno von Trask, whirlwind strategist that she was. Many hands make light work, or so my old nanny used to say. Teamwork, ladies! They set off on another bout of waking up the household, with Neem, Letty and Sadie in charge of the maids and other female staff, while Juno and Cousin Metis followed up on the chaperones. As Neem was swept out of the library as part of a sea of female efficiency, the last thing she saw was the lovely, talented Lady Liesel join Mr. Thornbury at his map.
"Perhaps I can help you locate the Duke," Lady Liesel said in that gentle, perfect voice of hers. "After all, I am quite skilled in the art of sympathetic magic."
"I am well aware," said Thornbury with a rueful smile, "having discovered and disposed of so many of your attempts to enchant my Duke's heart."
"Can't blame a lady for trying," said Lady Lisle, with a quirk of her rosebud mouth. And Thornbury, well, he gave the lovely lady a look that Neame had always rather assumed was meant only for her. A look that said, "Go on then, impress me." Neame felt rather deflated as she went on with her task. After it was discovered that the chaperones and the maids were all present and correct, someone thought to note that several islands now allowed gentlemen to marry gentlemen, which caused for, with rather more careful chaperonage, all of the male house guests to likewise be roused. The library was more crowded than it had been at any other point during the entire house party. Just as someone remarked aloud that it might be time to count the footmen, Mr. Thornbury hurled a silk poppet of His Grace the Duke at the third map to fail him that evening. "He's still shielded from my sight," he raged. "The only possible way to do that is if he's at one of the private estates with wards designed to screen for the privacy of residents. But even then I should have broken through. Either an enchantress of immense power has laid new wards around the Duke, or..." He frowned. "Such magic is easier to accomplish if it's a place that's deeply imbued with personal significance to him. There must be dozens of temples here on the Isle of Storm, many of them on private estates," spoke up Neame. "And we already sent Sadie's brother, the stable hand, to check the temple here in the local village," she added, glad for once to have thought of something ahead of time. "He said there was no sign the Duke took a horse out at all."
"He travelled by portal," Thornbury said grimly. "Two people left his private portal upstairs several hours ago, but I couldn't get any information read on where they went."
That caused a bit of thrilled gasping to go around the room, because if the Duke had indeed been mesmerised by a lady of quality, well, portal travel was simply not the done thing for ladies.
Perhaps they were right to theorise that the Duke's kidnapper was not a lady after all.
"There are 7 official ducal properties," Cousin Meta spoke up, "all of them significant to Cousin Henry, but also rather obvious destinations."
"I could check them all," Thornbury said, sounding more defeated by the moment. "But if his kidnapper is half the enchantress I think she is, there will be a warning hex built into His Grace's personal portal, so that they'll be alerted the second I use it. I need to be sure that I'm headed to the right place if I fire up that portal." He looked around the room, meeting the eyes of each lady. "Do any of you have suggestions of a temple on a private estate that means something deeply significant to Henry Jupiter?"
There was a long pause as all of the ladies, like Neame herself, considered how little they knew about the Duke that many of them had hoped to ensnare in marriage. "His parents were married here at the local temple, in the village," volunteered Neame. "Aunt Antiope insisted, though it's a seaborne tradition, to..."
"His naming ceremony was at the palace," interrupted Cousin Metis, not to be outdone. "Wistaria, not Bumbleton."
"I think we can be reasonably certain he's not at the palace," sighed Thornbury.
"Perhaps you should ask Lady Lovage," spoke up Dr. Simon St. Swithins, who had taken up a station very close to Miss Letty Agnew, presumably hoping to ensure that if she was swept away by the events of the evening, he would be her first port of call for her own elopement. Everyone stared at the good doctor, all realising in the same instant that in their consideration of eligible ladies, chaperones, maids and gentlemen, no one had thought to rouse the Duke's own hired hostess and godmother.
Said Dr. St. Swithins, clearly not used to such attention. "That is, I believe she was friends with his mother? She might have some intelligence to share."
"Better that than bring Mama or Aunt Galatea in to consult," said Cousin Metis beneath her breath.
Neame agreed fervently, if silently, with that particular sentiment.
"Well, someone go and get her," demanded Mrs. Juno von Trask. And that was how, at 1:10 in the morning, they all discovered that Henry Jupiter, the Duke of Storm, had eloped with Lady Europa Lovage, his godmother. As the library descended into a hubbub of scandalous gasping, muttering and complaining about how deeply many of the attendees felt the personal insult of the Duke's choice of bride, Neem saw Mr. Thornberry roll up his maps and quietly exit. Of course, she followed him.
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates, follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly, follow me on Facebook at TansyRR Books, and if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week!